Yikes, you've gone and done it, huh? You've launched.
We are blessed. We are extremely, we feel very fortunate that so many things have gone well on this spacecraft, and believe me, we have a tremendous number, a wide variety of hardware and software items that could have caused us significant grief. And up to this point in time, she's behaving perfectly.
All right. Describe for everybody, and for me too, exactly what it is you've launched, what's in it, and what kind of data you're getting back.
Well, we have launched one of a series of Pathfinder spacecraft that embodies a lot of the architectures and hardware and software items that we would intend to implement in full-scale structure. None of these kinds of things have been flown before in this manner. In this particular case, this expandable system is profiles the kind of structure that we would intend to use as a habitational structure, and this could be used in low Earth orbit. It could be used on the surface of the Moon, on the surface of Mars, or points in between.
Wow. With respect to where it is right now, I assume it's in low Earth orbit.
It is. At the altitude, she's at 342 miles.
342 miles. And what kind of orbit does that put it in?
It's I think it's about a 61 degree inclination.
Okay. All right, so it passes over the U.S. how frequently?
In a 24-hour period, it will acquire 15 orbits and roughly 100 minutes to circle the Earth. And so in a 24-hour period, it's about 15 orbits, and it's in an irregular, the parabolic path is an irregular kind of path. And so Las Vegas, for example, is where our mission control facility is in North Las Vegas, and some passes might be too far to the north or the south, and we may miss those passes. We have two other antennas under construction, one in Hawaii and one in Fairbanks, Alaska, which should be online in about 3 or 4 months.
Okay, well, that'll certainly greatly expand your communication capability with it.
Indeed it will.
What is it made out of, Robert?
This structure is fairly similar to what the full scale would be. It's not as the shields that we fly, which are the materials that would protect you from radiation harm or from a penetration of the structure by space debris. Those shields would be more prodigious on a full scale, let's say, than they are on this scale. So we have shielding. We start off with a beta cloth exterior for thermal control. We follow that with a variety of shielding kinds of layers. There is a air barrier membrane that is embraced by a very strong Kevlar type of material and a certain sort of structure that maintains that shape. And inside that is a scuff coat that you'd be hard-pressed to puncture with a knife, the point of a knife. And so there are very many layers that if this were full scale, it would be about 16 inches in thickness.
I see. All right. I'm curious. I know that there's literally a flying junkyard up there in the low Earth orbit area. And I wonder how concerned you all are that something is going to come along at a very high velocity and just slam into it.
It definitely can. We have sufficient protection for small objects that might hit at oblique angles, or if it hits straight on, then that's about 35,000 miles an hour of impact. We're going about 17.5. And it depends on the size of those objects, and there are about 14,000 of those that NORAD tracks from golf ball size and above. And any of those would be devastating for both the International Space Station or other structures up there. The interesting thing about our shields is that through a lot of our hypervelocity impact tests, we have demonstrated that those architectures are much more protective than the aluminum structures are and to space debris like that.
Do you know offhand, do you have instrumentation that would tell you if you have yet encountered anything at all?
Oh, definitely. We would know the minute that that happens. And our profile is that the spacecraft should fly. Our engineers are saying now that it could be as long as 13 years. Initially, I was told between 3.5 and 7 years. And so if all goes well and it doesn't encounter and by the way, the odds of hitting something are very small. It's a very large area at that level of altitude, and it's an awful lot of room up there. So
right.
The odds are, in fact, I think I remember the Mir space station was calibrated to suffer a fairly severe hit within once in every 70 years.
Huh.
Gives you some idea. Of course, we're significantly smaller than the Mir space station.
Well, sure. I guess you have some small biological entities on board?
We do. We have, we flew some Madagascar and some American type of roaches, and the Madagascar hissing beetles are extremely durable, unbelievably durable little buggers, and then we flew some Mexican jumping beans, and just kind of for fun. We put other things on board as well, photographs of people, our own staff, and little toys and things that we put into a box so we could watch those float around.
And you've been doing that, I take it.
We have, and we have our second flight coming up in January, and we are going to be flying a number of other little critters, scorpions and ants and other kinds of things, and along with people's photographs and little personal items that they might want to fly.
My God, that's ambitious, January, huh? All of this, of course, ultimately, someday, is headed toward, I think you have visions of, I don't know, extending your hotel-motel business to space, yes?
Well, Art, the concept we have is actually to build a generic kind of structure that's would be interpreted as a space complex that would be accommodating multiple kinds of uses. And so what we might do is say to the MGM Corporation or Hilton Hotels or Harrah's or Richard Branson, well, look, we have a facility. If you're interested in the hotel business, then we can provide you with that kind of an accommodation, along with Mitsubishi wanting to set up a material science lab, or perhaps Pfizer wanting to set up a pharmaceutical facility.